Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Cordera Aisha Muhammad on Religion Means Alive. Today's date is December the 31st, 2015. And tonight's topic is double standard. This topic could mean a lot of different things, which I'm going to try to work around and speak on a lot of topics that have double standards in them so that we can, you know, run the gamut of, you know, situations and different topics. I thought this would be something new and something, you know, different for the show because I'm always coming up with new things. So first and foremost, I want to give thanks and praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to see another day, being able to use all of my faculties and without assistance and just giving me life, you know, because, you know, as I went down my timeline during this week and past couple of weeks, I have seen the demise of a lot of Muslims, and that really hits home and touch dearly because, you know, we should always remind ourselves of death to understand that, you know, we too will be in that position one day. We will be laying in the ground and we'll become food for the worms. But I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every one of the Muslims throughout the world that second chance to correct their actions and not die in a state that would be displeasing to Allah, and not only to Allah but to yourself. You know, I had posted earlier a picture of an actual video of a brother who had passed away in the masjid. As soon as they finished the takbir, he passed away and died right in the masjid. And what more of a befitting way was that for him to pass away in the masjid and in prayer? You know, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward him, forgive him the sins, and allow him to enter Jannah. I mean, you know, I really do think that people take things literally too much. Like, you know, I try to joke and kid around, but people, you know, take things the wrong way. I have a dry sense of humor, so a lot of times when I joke and kid around with things, people really take it serious. And only people that know me will say, oh, no, she was just playing. Or, you know, like, yo, you play too much. Like, you know, things like that, because they really know me. And some people get offended by, you know, my dry sense of humor. And that's just me. And I apologize if you don't understand, you know, how I do things. I try not to take it too far sometimes, and I have to, you know, sometimes monitor my actions myself and reel myself back in to not get caught up in these type of things because, you know, they can fester and, you know, get out of control. So tonight's topic being double standards, you know, there are so many things that is happening throughout the world and throughout our communities, and even personally wise, that, you know, everything has a double standard on it. A lot of things have a double standard on it. So one thing that I'm looking at is the whole Bill Cosby thing. Here's a couple of things that I don't understand. And I'm not just, you know, I'm not going to play the O.J. Simpson role, you know, okay, this glad because he's black and he, you know, he didn't get, you know, found guilty of a crime or whatever like that. But I still believe OJ was innocent on that. Like, I don't believe he did it. And the jury felt as though he didn't do it because the facts just didn't add up. But the whole Bill Cosby thing, and this is this is where I have a problem. You had a 15-year-old girl in Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion that says that she was drugged and raped or touched or whatever by Bill Cosby. Nobody questions the parents of a 15-year-old child in the Playboy Mansion. A 15-year-old girl had no business being in the Playboy Mansion, but nobody's talking about her parents. Nobody's talking about where was her parents. Nobody's bringing that up. Nobody's saying anything about that. You know, that's the first thing. Like, I have a major issue with that. Second of all, none of these women said that he slipped the drug to them. They all said that he handed the drug to them. This is where I have a problem. Carla, I'm going to get to you in a second. I just want to make this one statement, and then I'll put you through. No, none of these women, from reading what was online, and, I mean, I might not have the facts, but what was in the news and, you know, everything like that, it was stating that he handed them the drugs or they took the drugs from him. It never said that he slipped the drug into the wine. Like, he said he gave them the drug and gave them the alcohol. So I'm saying to myself, does that make any sense? Because I know if I'm alone with a man and he tells me to take some pill and drink some alcohol, I mean, you can't be that dumb. Like, you really can't be that dumb. And then it's a meme that's going around and saying if they was that drugged up and, you know, that drunk and drugged up, how do they remember everything? I'm just trying to understand that also. There's a couple more things, but I'm going to put this caller through. Somebody's on the line again. If you ever want to, you know, speak, there's two options you could do. You could call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. Or if you're streaming live on the web and you're listening, you could go to the chat option and type in your question, and then I'll be able to see it, and I'll be able to respond back. I can, you know, read the question on the air, and then I can respond back to you via speaking. So, Carla, I'm going to put you through now. Thank you for joining Religion Means a Lot. Who do I have online? Hello? Hello? Okay. Guess nobody's there. Thank you for joining Religion Means a Lot. Do you have a question? Hello?
No, no question. I just chimed in.
Oh,
no question.
Okay. When you press 1, that'll put you through. It'll show that you have a question, so I'll put you back on mute. Okay, so the second part of it is that you wait 20, 30, 40 years to bring this out about you being raped and all this other stuff. And then this last woman, again, he gave you a drug, told you to take it and drink some wine, and then I'm just not understanding this. I mean, I'm just trying to understand, like, are you really that naive to not understand if somebody's telling you to take something and drink some wine, that something's going to go down? Going to go down and something's going to happen. I mean, did you tell me you had a headache? I mean, I would believe this more if you said, oh, you know, I asked him, did he have some aspirin or something, because I had a headache, and so, you know, I went and took these pills, which I thought was aspirin or Tylenol, and, you know, I can't remember anything. I would have more faith and belief in these women if they said something like that. It's the whole same situation when, you know, Mike Tyson allegedly, you know, was charged with rape of the girl who came up to his hotel room 1-2 o'clock in the morning like, sis, what did you think was going to go down? That he was just going to talk to you? Like, y'all was just going to talk? Like, I'm not getting it. I mean, maybe I'm just naive. Or, you know, I'm just trying to figure this out. I'm just trying to figure it out because it's baffling to me. And, you know, when these type of things come out, they're a distraction to keep us from focusing on what we should really be paying attention to. And this is something that I want the younger generations to pay attention to. You guys have so much power, but it's untapped energy. And what I mean by untapped energy is that you guys focus on so many other trivial things than what's really important. You worry about reality TV, these whack rappers, and just stuff that is not important. I mean, like, really not important, things that really aren't important. I just want people to pay attention to that because there's strength in numbers. And if enough people pay attention and focus their energies where they need to be focused, we wouldn't have these type of problems that's going on in society. This is all double standards. So in speaking of that, and I'm going back to Bill Cosby's situation. Look at Woody Allen. Woody Allen was married to Mia Farrow. Mia Farrow had adopted the daughter. It was known that Woody Allen was, I don't know if he was having sex with her, but he was surely molesting her. He was surely molesting this girl. And then he divorced Mia Farrow, and then he married his actual, I mean, if you want to look at it, daughter. This was known going on. People want to attack Bill Cosby. People want to attack R. Kelly. Let's be clear. Anything that they done in those type of situations was wrong. 100%. They were wrong. They were wrong. So I'm not giving them a pass, but there's a double standard when it comes to certain people. Bill Cosby's net worth is $400 million. And let me tell you why I believe that he was chosen a sacrificial lamb. I'm going to tell you why. Bill Cosby has always been for the betterment of African-American people, so much so that he went to degrade them. And I know what that was about because I do the same thing. It's called reverse psychology and negative reinforcement. And I'll give you an example of what that means. What you try to do is grade somebody. You be harsh with them. You be stern with them in your talk because you actually want the best for them. So if you point out all their flaws and constantly harp on that, you're thinking the light bulb should go off and I need to fix that. So I get exactly what he was saying, how he was, you know, his approach. I love it. I love it. I love it because that's how I feel. You know, a lot of people don't understand me, but once you get to know me, you understand where I'm coming from. You know, I always say, how much longer are we going to use the white man that's holding me back? Slavery is not allowing, and don't get me wrong, did a whole show on this. There is a great disparage for African-American men, and this is why. Because they know that if the black man gets back to where he was pre-slavery, running his home, maintaining his land, and ruling his kingdom, it'll be over. Throw all these things into the niche that we are in and we fall for it hook, line, and sinker. Here's another double standard. I saw a post, and I reposted it to my Facebook page, and it was talking about Adele. And I know music is around, but she's one of my favorite artists, like one of my favorite artists of all time. Like, I just love her music. I love who she is as a person, and I respect her. And here's why I respect her. They did a whole show on her, you know, showing her home. She lives in this mansion that has no furniture in it. She only lives in, like, certain parts because she's like, I'm not used to this. And I get that, and people may not have understood that, but I have friends who live in England, and they actually lived in the same, like, apartment complex as Amy Winehouse. And over in the UK, their superstars aren't on, well, they are on a level with ours, but they don't, like, stalk them and all this other crazy stuff. Like, they go about their day, like, you could run into them at the market and stuff like that with no bodyguards and so forth and so on. So Adele is a real humble person. She comes from very humble beginnings, and I get that. And I'm not taking it away from any other artist that, you know, is in the music industry. I'm not taking it away from them on that situation. I'm definitely not. But the post that I put up, it was like Adele has surpassed. She has broken every number on records. Like, she, the only one she hasn't beat was Michael Jackson because of the number, I guess because of the number of the years that Thriller has been out. Like, it'll be really hard for her to break that 40, I think it was like 40 billion or something like that, albums that Thriller has produced, or like people download and so forth and so on. It's like 40 billion. So it'll be really hard for her to do that because she's a new artist. But with that being said, it said that she never degrades herself. And it put at the bottom Nicki Minaj, Beyonce, and Rihanna. You will never see Adele strip off her clothes and dance half naked and do all this other stuff. She did this classy. She's not dancing and bouncing all over the stage. And, you know, a lot of people say because she can't. I mean, you don't know because she don't do it. She has kept her clothes on and been a class act ever since she came out. And she has surpassed them. Now, is that a double standard? Absolutely. And I'll tell you why again. You know, Larry Fishburne, after he, you know, was in the industry for a number of years, he said he no longer wanted to be called Larry. He wanted people to call him by his full name. He wanted that respect and say Lawrence Fishburne. And he would start to do only roles that were positive and not negative, you know, like when he was in King of New York, the Frank White story, you know, that whole thing. When he did that, you know, he really had like a turnaround in the movie industry. He wouldn't, you know, do, you know, gangster type, you know, real bad acting and things like that. He wouldn't do it. And I respect him for it. And it's like, you know, they always want to portray the African-American man as dumb, uneducated, gangster thug, robber, you know, things that they want to label us with. And that's the roles that they have for them. Now, for the woman, for the black woman, they want you to be loose, ghetto, loud, you know, just degrading. But this is the thing here. You have to make that own impact yourself. If you're not willing to say, no, I'm not taking that role, and make a pact to say, I will not do those type of movies, I will not do those type of roles, who are they going to get to fill them? It's always a double standard with a lot of things. But getting back, you know, on topic, so Jared Fogle molests and all these guys do all kinds of ill things to children, this and that, and he only got 15 years in jail. I doubt if he even do five. I doubt it. But you all want to attack Bill Cosby, though. And the reason why they're attacking him is because he was about to buy, I think it was NBC or affiliate or something of that sort. He was about to buy that and create a new black television network. Now, you know they wasn't letting him do that. Y'all already know that they wasn't letting him do that. To promote positivity, Bill Cosby has always been on this. And, you know, I had put up a post and said, you know, they took the Cosby Show off of running. And I said, you know, they don't have any other black positive shows. And people, out of ignorance, yes, they did. It was Family Matters. It was Good Times. It was all these other shows. I said, listen, y'all never think beyond, oh, the glass is half empty. I look at it as half full. Why would they want the Cosby Show off air? Why would they? Here's why. You had a successful black woman and a successful black man jobs. Now, I'm not talking about like Family Matters. You know, Carl, he was a police officer, and I don't know if the, I can't remember if the mom worked or whatever. You know, you had a doctor and a lawyer as parents. Why wouldn't you want that removed? Why wouldn't you want that removed off the air if you're trying to degrade African Americans? You don't want them to see what a real family, a real household is supposed to look like. Why wouldn't you want that removed? Absolutely, you want that removed. And let's be clear, the father on Seventh Heaven was convicted of pedophilia too, but we see Seventh Heaven is still on TV, ain't it? Nobody's speaking out about that, but y'all want to take Bill Cosby through this. And again, I'm not saying whether he's wrong or right, but I'm saying look at the double standard. Look at it. It's very clear to see that, you know, this is what happened. So we're going to continue on the topic of double standards. First, I'm going to still leave it open. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. Thank you for all the listeners tonight. I appreciate it. I know a lot of you are home, relaxing, chilling. So I appreciate you taking the time out to schedule to listen to me tonight on Block Talk Radio, our station, Religion Means a Lot. Thank you. Next double standard. Again, I try to tell you guys to pay attention to distractions. Distractions are to keep you from being focused on the real matter at hand. Bill Cosby, this whole situation, okay, the statute of limitations was going to expire January 1st or whatever like that. Yeah, they put it through. Yeah, they put it through. Because why? They have to let you see that, I can't remember the young man who was shot and killed by the officer because he had a toy gun. And again, I put up a post about a white lady who pulled the gun, a real gun, on cops. They didn't shoot her. They didn't shoot her. It's to keep you distracted. How do you shoot? I mean, you know, it's so many things that's going on. How do you shoot somebody 16 times, this other young man, 16 times and saying he was coming towards you to attack you, and he was clearly going in the opposite direction away from you? 16 times. Saw another something on social network where the mother called in, and she told police that her son was mentally ill, that he had schizophrenia, to send cops who are trained to deal with that type of situation. Oh, no, they send Joe Blow, and they kill him, and they kill an innocent woman. And all he had was a bat in his hand. Y'all ain't try to pull tasers or nothing. Y'all killed him and killed the woman and shot a couple of other people. Speaking of double standards, here's another one for you. This monster who the judges let this bull crap called affluenza desensitize his crime because he was so rich he didn't know right from wrong. Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? This monster killed 4 people drunk driving. And because he's 18 and he went to Mexico, he's only going to serve 4 months to the max for a violation of his parole. They didn't even give him parole. He's just on probation for 10 years. He kills 4 people drunk driving, and he was underage. So now he's still going to play on this role of affluenza. I'm baffled on that whole thing. 4 months he's going to. He didn't know right from wrong, but you know that they caught you on tape at a party, drinking or being around people who were drinking yet again. So you get your mommy to take you and go to Mexico. Are you going to use that same defense as, oh, I didn't know right from wrong? Yeah, you did. You definitely knew better this time. Double standard. Double standard. And next thing I'm going to bring up, this doesn't have anything to do with double standards, but I spoke out on this. I said, you look at the man in New York who was killed in the chokehold. You look at Trayvon Martin. You look at Tamir. Look at, can't think of the other boy name, Brown, and the other young man that was, you know, killed. Like, just all these African-American men and women. Because it's a couple of women that you're not mentioning, but I actually did the research. It's like 6 or 7. And the crazy thing about this, that these 6 or 7 women were all killed in police custody. I'm not believing it. Definitely not believing it. Me personally, I don't trust the police. Police killed my brother, so I already have a disdain in my mouth for them. My brother was murdered by cops. I wasn't a part of the lawsuit, so I could talk about it now because my father is deceased and so is my brother. But I don't like cops. I don't like cops because they think they're above the law and they think that when they break the law, the blue code of silence is going to protect them, and it's 100% right. Like, how many times that y'all got to see a blatantly put out there on video, y'all talking about, oh, we need the body cams and the sound cams and all this and that, and you got it, and they're still being justified in murdering these people. They're still being justified in it. The cops beat my brother senseless. My brother is one of those statistics being murdered by police. So I can definitely sympathize with these people and what they're going through. I definitely feel it. So do I trust police? No, I don't. Because I don't think they have our best interests at hand, whether what they say. Because we know there's racism within the police ranks, in any police department. And then there are FOPs and all these other subgroups. If you look at them, they have nothing to do with African-American cops, but this is all about Caucasian cops. It's a double standard. And even if racist stuff happens, that blue code of silence, you're to keep quiet and not say anything. And you're to cover for your brother in blue or your sister in blue and not say nothing about it. You know, this is not a topic that I talk about my brother being murdered by police, but I 100% get it. My brother was unarmed, and they beat my brother to death. They beat him, and what they beat him with? Police flashlights. If any of you know what a police officer's flashlight weighs and what it looks like, trust me, you'll definitely understand where I'm coming from with this. I have been targeted by police numerous times, because where I live at. I was coming one day from dinner with my friends, and my car has dark tint, has very dark tint on it. And cop said that I turned on a red light, and I'm like, okay, if you said that's what I did. Like, I'm not going to argue with police officers, and that's something that I always say. See, he couldn't see directly in my car, so he knew, he couldn't tell whether I was a guy or a girl. And I had, at that time, I had a Mercury Sable, which they consider basically a hood car. So if you're driving something like that with tinted windows, they automatically, you know, driving while black. You're driving a car that's known to be driven by African-Americans. So, yeah, we got every right to pull you over. And the county I was in, they're very racist. East Lansdowne and Pennsylvania. So if anybody's listening, East Lansdowne police are very racist. So here's what happened. Actually, they came into my county, because I'm not in East Lansdowne, but they came into my county, which if anybody knows about the counties in Delaware County, like you cross over a block and you're in a whole different county, and they still got jurisdiction, I believe. So the cop pulls me over. He says, you turned on a red light. I said, okay, officer. Like, okay, if you say that's what I did, I'm not going to argue with you, because it's only going to lead to more stuff if I argue with you. He's like, where are you coming from? I said, why does that matter? Like, what am I being? Are you going to write a ticket? Like, okay, you pulled me over. You said I turned on a red light. why are you asking me all these questions, where I'm coming from, what I'm doing? Like, why are you asking me all these questions? Like, are you going to give me a ticket? Is exactly what I said. Are you going to give me a ticket? He said, I asked you where you're coming from. I said, why? What does that have to do with you pulling me over for me turning on a red light? And I'm not yelling at him. I'm talking to him very civilly and calmly, just like I was. I was like, what does that have to do with why you're pulling me over? Well, he gets on the radio, calls for backup. 3 more cops come with the canines, with the dogs. And I'm just sitting there like, I'm just saying to myself, Ya Allah, Inshallah, please, Allah, please, please. Like, all male cops. All male cops. So I'm like breathing real hard and stuff like that. He was like, have you been drinking? I was like, officer, I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink. I think I smell alcohol in your breath. And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, they're just going to start. So he's asking me for my license and stuff. And it was a whole bunch of us in my car. So what I did was I put my purse in the trunk. So, you know, like my girlfriends and stuff, they could fit in my car or whatever. So I put my purse in my trunk. I said, my purse is in my trunk. Can I, you know, come out and get it? And so, like, they're standing there with the dogs, and I open my trunk. I have nothing in the trunk, nothing in the trunk except for my pocketbook. So me being very smart about the situation, this is what I did. I didn't reach in my pocketbook to take my wallet out. I took my whole pocketbook and dumped it upside down so everything could fall out so they could see it, because I had a light in the trunk. You could see in the trunk, so it was a light. So I wasn't digging my hands because they had, look, they had their hands on their guns. Two canine dogs standing right there like any wrong move. And I'm done. Like, I'm panicking. So I, you know, pull out my wallet and get my ID, get my insurance papers, registration. I mean, they're flashing the light on my stickers, because, like, in the state of Pennsylvania, you have to put, for your insurance and registration, you have to put this little sticker on your license plate. I mean, in the front, you have your inspection stickers. Like, they're flashing it, making sure, and I'm like, I tell people, ever since I've been out here in the county over 20 years, I've always had a license, and I always had insurance and everything straight and real on my car, because this is what they do. So then when I give him my license, he says to me, how long have you been in America? And I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? How long you been here? And you sure you really live here? And I'm like, yes, yes. So they made me do a breathalyzer, which came back 0, 0, 0, no alcohol in my system. Made me do a field sobriety test, passed it. And that's another thing, that's stupid, because I'm like, who knows their ABCs? I'm sober right now, and I still can't say my ABCs backwards and all the dumb stuff that they ask you to do sober. Like, a sober person couldn't even do it. Heel, toe, and all this other stuff. I'm like, I got on high heels. Well, not high heels, but they was wet. Who can do all this dumb stuff? But back to the officer. He said, okay, we're going to let you go. So I said, okay. So I'm saying in my head, y'all are shakran. Like, oh, I'm just thanking the law in my car. So as I'm driving off, I see the officer following me. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Why is he following me? So I get to my house, put my car in my garage, and he sits there and waits until I put the key in the door and go in. He still sat there and waited and drove off. after about 5 minutes of sitting in front of my door. Never got a ticket until 10 days later. But guess what the ticket was for? Because I had tinted windows, which was a $112 ticket. So I said, okay, I'm going to fight this. And I get to the court, and the officer is there. I explain to the judge, this is one thing, this happened to me another time in another incident. I explain to the judge the entire situation. Other officers are looking at him like, yo, dude, you shot out. I said, Your Honor, they didn't give me a ticket then and there. I went home. But I guess he forgot and threw all his stuff that he was doing and mailed it to my house 10 days later. I said, Your Honor, who does that? Like, if you writing me a ticket, you would write it right then and there. How can you mail somebody a ticket 10 days later and tell them that they was in violation? Why didn't he give me the ticket right then and there? I said, what did me, how long I've been living in this country have anything to do with him saying I turned on a red light? Know what they do? Increase my ticket to 300 something, because they're going to say it was past the date. I fought that and took it to the main district, which is media. So you allowed a cop to write me a ticket 10 days later. 10 days later. And then you say I was in violation because I didn't pay it within 7 days. Are you kidding me? Double standard. Double standard. Here's another double standard that a lot of us don't pay attention to. And it has a lot to do with Willie Lynch syndrome. And again, I said on the last call, I talked about a lot of books and things that we need to read to educate ourselves on the poisoning and the demise of African Americans, because there's so much hurt and there's so much bitterness in us that we can't even control ourselves. It's indoctrinated in us. We don't see it. We don't see it. And we don't see, a lot of parents don't see the harm in it. When you have these teachers who are molesting boys, and I say molesting because that's exactly what it is, it's looked at like, oh, the boys should have kept their mouth shut and, you know, enjoy that rite of passage of, you know, making out with a teacher, whatever, you know, whatever have you. It's disgusting, and it should fit the same crime, but they don't charge these women the same crime as if this was a male teacher to a teenage girl. They don't do it. It's a double standard. It's a double standard. And a lot of times, you know, they say we play the race card and stuff like that. Like, why wouldn't we? Because that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. Technically, none of the Africans asked to be born here. So unless you're giving us enough money to survive in another country, I don't see why y'all complaining. We didn't ask to be born. Be mad at your ancestors. Don't be mad at us. But the double standard with boys and girls, it goes like this. And this is in a lot of families. It's not just African Americans. It's in a lot of families. And this is how it goes. Boys, they can stay out. They can do whatever they want. They can have their little girlfriends over at the parents' house, all things like this, you know, all that's good and going, everything. Girls can't go nowhere. They're sheltered. Oh, you can't do this. You can't talk to this person. You can't do this. You can't do that. Like, but you allow the boys to do it. this is not preparing them for the real world. Because if the parents condone this type of behavior, what do you think that they're going to do when they become husbands? They're going to think that they can still get away with that type of behavior. It's called conditioning. Well, my parents allowed me to do it. They seen no wrong in it, so I should still be able to do it. Now, I'm not saying everybody is like that, but that's a part of conditioning. For girls, I can't do anything with shelter. And then when, you know, her husband starts to cheat on her and stuff like that, she doesn't feel no type of way about it. She feels some type of way, but not a major way, because she saw how her parents allowed her brothers to do that. It's a form of conditioning, and it's double standards. We should set the same expectations for our boys as we do our girls. But that comes from slave mentalities. See, the male slaves were able to run and do what they wanted, and the women slaves had to stay, cook, clean, you know, do all this and that, and really do all of the work. Most male slaves were, you know, field hands and things like that, but they were used as studs to basically grow their population as stronger slaves. We want stronger slaves, so we're using the biggest male stud that we can find to breed with all these women, so we have strong slaves. And that kind of indoctrination still happens today. And this is part of the reason why you have, here's another double standard, you have Muslim women stating, oh, I don't want to get married. I'm cool. I take care of myself. Astaghfirullah. This is not what Allah ordained for you. For you to work and struggle and do all this stuff on your own. That's not what Allah ordained for you. Allah ordained you to be taken care of by your husband. This is why men have that one degree over the woman, because he spends of his wealth on her. He has strength, more strength than she does. This is another reason why we are not as strong as men, and we shouldn't pretend that we are. And this is the problem with these women and allowing certain foolishness to go on in marriages. You get so indoctrinated with that independent stuff that you don't put no responsibilities on the man. Because you can handle everything. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And that's not your place. It's not your right. And we need to learn that. I put this post up not too long ago. I am strong enough to take care of myself, but I'm smart enough to know that I shouldn't do it alone. I'm smart enough to know that I shouldn't do it alone. It's not my right. Yes, I can do it in between the time that I'm not married. Yeah, absolutely, I can do it. But no, when I get married, that responsibility is going on my shoulders. I don't want it. I don't want it. Why? Because it's not my place. It's not my right to have that. This is something that we need to learn. This is part of the demise of marriages, because we as women want to rule the men. The roles have reversed. And I did a whole show on this, how it's role reversal in marriages. Women are now taking care of the men, and the men are doing nothing as the woman should. We have to break out of this and stop having these standards and comparing. As Muslims, we should not be comparing ourselves to what people are doing out here in the dunya. Is not for us. It's not for us to do. It's not your right to take care of your husband and maintain him, the house, the children, and yourself. It's not your right. And inshallah, when I get married, I'm going to gladly give that right back to my husband, where it's rightfully so his to deal with. And as mothers, mothers who have African-American males, make these boys do what they need to do as far as make them wash their clothes and clean their clothes and know how to sweep and know how to cook, just as you would do your daughters. Because you get these men out here who can't even boil water. Can't even wash clothes. Putting soap powder, liquid, in the Bounty bowl. Because you don't know how to wash clothes, because that's something that you never had to do. You know, your wives are, yes, your companions. They're not your slaves. They're not your housekeepers. We got to get out this double standard of thinking that your wife is, you know, just some kind of robot that she's supposed to do all these things and not have feelings about it. It's a double standard. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam helped his wives with duties around the house. Read Hadith, because it tells you all about it. He didn't come just work and, preach the Quran and do everything like that and then didn't do anything domesticated. He did. He absolutely did. And that's who we should be emulating in our behavior. No woman, and I say this all the time, no woman wants to take care of her husband, her children, and her house. If a woman says that she wants to do that, she's a liar. If she says she's cool with that, that she has no problems with doing it, she's a liar. She is a liar. No woman wants to do that. No woman. It's not all right. It's not in the natural fit of a woman to want to do that. And if you do say you want to do it, you crazy. You're crazy. I'm going to just leave it like that. You're crazy. We first, as people of color, need to come to some kind of realization that we need to do better in this society than what we're already doing. But one thing that we have to do to break out of these kind of ideologies and these harmful ways that, you know, we're leading to, is I always say this, we got to start with our homes first before we can branch that out to our communities and then, you know, spreading it on. We got to break out of that. We got to break out the slave mentality. You know, another double standard, I partially went in on that because on the last show where I talked about how it's okay for an African-American man to go marry outside his race, have children. Yeah, some people will gripe about it, but it's not as bad as when an African-American woman goes outside her race. Why is it so bad for her to do that? And, again, it's a double standard. It's a double standard because it resonates back to slave mentality. Here, I'll break it down for you real quick. Black men couldn't be with white women. It was forbidden. It was taboo for them to do that, for them to look, for them to see, to talk, to do anything white woman. They would be killed immediately. Like, it was no thinking about they would be shot, killed, hung, strung up. They would be, you know, all that good stuff at one time if they were caught talking to a white woman. Black women were not to want to sleep or be with Caucasian men or white men because They were raped, molested, and all kinds of stuff back in slave times. It's the same thing. It's a double standard. It's slave mentality. And, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in his last speech before his demise that an Arab is not better than an Arab and a black is not better than a black. And this is something that has divided Islam straight down the middle. Straight down the middle. There is no black Islam. There is no Arab Islam. Does culture interfere with that? Absolutely it does. Is it right? Absolutely not. It is not correct to act like this. You know, somebody had sent me, responded to a post. Well, since y'all like mixing with other races, this and that, I'll accept it when an Arab will marry their virgin daughter to an African-American. That's culture in their ignorance. It has nothing to do with Islam. Islam is perfect. Muslims are not. It's total culture. And this is where people get confused. Yes, they call them sand niggers and all this other, you know, sand niggers, niggers. They do use all that. Absolutely they do. Is it right? No. Is it their culture? Absolutely. And this is in hadith that we should not let our culture overstep the bounds of where Islam is permissible. So, yeah, what they're doing is wrong. Nobody said it was right. Who said it was right? Nobody. Did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that we could? Absolutely he did. So who you want to, you just going to do what you want to do? Because they won't marry their virgin daughters to African Americans. You just going to hate them and be off on that because you want to. What did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said that an Arab is no better than a black, and a black is not better than an Arab, and that's good enough for me. And that's good enough for me. We got to stop with these double standards on everything. This is why Islam is divided. This is why African Americans are divided. You know, they get on the whole crab in a barrel thing. And this is exactly what black people do. It's a double standard that they do with themselves. Oh, I ain't supporting them in nothing they do. I'm not partaking in that. That's corny. I don't want to have no parts of that. But then when they see you winning, oh, what can I do to get on? Well, I asked you that in the beginning, but you didn't want no parts of it. African Americans need to learn how to follow through with things because we don't do that. So I'm going to put it like this. Y'all don't do that because I follow through on the things that I say I'm going to do. And if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I can't do it, I make it straight no chaser. I can't do it. I'm not going to be able to do it. African-American people don't follow through on things. They don't. You got to be on them like master overseeing them on the back of a horse, whipping them for them to follow through on things. They don't do it. And then they don't cancel. Oh, I'm coming to that. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do that. Never show up. Never call. No, nothing. Oh, I'm all gung-ho. I want to participate in that. I want to do that. Never show up. Never do it. We, as people of color, if we want other people to accept us, and how do I know that we don't respect ourselves? All these people who were murdered by police officers, protesting out in the street, you got people going hard for them, you know, making T-shirts, you know, rallying, you know, really doing it. Who's protesting for the people who were killed by other black people? Who's doing that? Where the rallies at for them? Where's the T-shirts? Where's the news publicity? Where is it? I'm waiting for it. I want to partake in that. we don't do it. It's a double standard. When somebody not our color does something to us, it's all, they all out take. And personally, so they are. I'm not saying that they're not. But another thing that they know is that we won't follow through on things. Yeah, we'll protest. We'll get some T-shirts made. Months later, don't see nobody in the courtroom. They see a handful of people. They know we don't follow through on things. They know that we get entertained by trivial things like social media. Social media, reality TV, these whack, uneducated, uncouth artists, because I'm not even going to say they rap artists, because I don't know what these people are talking about. What trash they talking about and what they're wearing, and is the demasculization of black men. You know, that's a whole another show. That might be Saturday show. It's show law. The demasculation of the black man. People don't see this. I had made a comment, and I'm gonna say this real quick before I get ready to conclude the call. I had made a comment. It was a young man who was, and he had on this outfit that was just totally disgusting and trifling. And if he was a girl and had that outfit on, I would have said the same thing. I would have said the same thing if it was a female. It didn't matter whether it was a female or a male. The outfit was disgusting. And, you know, everybody was jumping on, oh, this and that. This, oh, you know, y'all attacking him. And, you know, everybody, you know, most of the women on there, African-American women, went on to glorify it. Oh, that's right. You look fire. You hot. This and that. And this comment that I made on his post had the most comments and likes on it than everybody else. I'm talking about this was a nationwide post. And I was, like, shocked because I'm still getting notifications from it. I put on that post. I didn't attack him. I didn't say anything was wrong with him. To each their own, I did a whole show on about gay and different things that affect that. So if y'all want the information, contact me. I'll give you the link to that show because there's more to it than, you know, just people choosing to do what they want to do. We know a law makes no mistakes. We understand that a law is perfect in his design and his creation and whatever he does and ordains for us. We understand that. But there's other factors that influence that. And if people want to talk to me offline about that, I'll be glad to address that because, you know, it enlightened me on a whole bunch of things that I didn't know of how chemicals and other things influence that. But what I said on that post was this. I said, it's cute and it's funny, so it's your son. Funny and cute, so it's your son. And people was like, you hit the nail square daff on the head. You got that one. Yeah, y'all glorify that stuff. And don't get me wrong, they know how to dress. They know how to, you know, do makeup, hair, all that. I tell people all the time, I have nothing against gay people. I have nothing against my brother's gay. My brother's a homosexual. Have no problem with. I have other gay members in my family. Love them to death. Have no problem with them. What I have problem with is their sexual choice. That's what I have a problem with. And if you don't bring that around me or try to influence me with that, I'm fine. To each their own. You can live your life, do what you want to do. Just don't bring that over here. That's not what I'm about. And respect me, and I respect you. And that's how I leave that. But what I said was, I said, it's fun and games till it's your son. It could be your nephew, your cousin. It's all fun and games. It's cute. Oh, yeah, fire, do that, do that. Till it's your son. And I got to see that firsthand. I got to see that. inshallah, that's what I'm going to do the show about Saturday, the demasculization and the masculation of the female, African-American female, and the demasculation of the African-American male. And trust me, if you guys tune in to that show, I'm going to open your eyes to a whole bunch of stuff. It's bigger than what you think it is. And again, it goes back to destroying the structure of the African-American home. It's about destroying it. And people don't see it because why? They program you. Sorry about that, guys. I got disconnected real quick. My phone was dying. So inshallah, I'll do that show on Saturday. We'll talk about that in greater detail. But if you're tuning in, trust me, you will be extremely surprised at the information I'm going to provide you. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. If you're streaming live online, you can hit the chat button and type your question, and I'll answer it. At this point in time, I'm about to get ready to close the show, and I'm going to give you all the information on how you can reach me. You can call me at 610-836-2120 and press one. I was about to say the same thing to the call. And you can text me because that's a cell phone, or you can leave me a voicemail message, and inshallah, I'll get back to you at my earliest convenience. If you want to send me an email, it's qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks, that's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Path, Google Talk. You can DM me, DM me, inbox me, and, you know, at my earliest convenience, inshallah, I can, you know, get back to you and discuss that. We're looking for people to join our team. If you're interested in taking over one of my days, I'll gladly give it up to you. Just let me know, contact me, let me know what you want to talk about on the show or what your topic or what your genre is that you would like to do. We're looking, you know, to add people to the Religion Means Alive family. So you can contact me about that. If you have an event or something you want to advertise on the show, let me know. I'll be happy to discuss it and help try to promote it if I can, inshallah. Again, I want to take this time to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, you know, giving me insight to things and not just, you know, thinking with inside that box. I think outside the box. So I thank Allah for giving me that form of intellect, because not a lot of people, you know, just follow, you know, let the shepherd, you know, herd them and be sheep people, as they say. I'm out on the outside. I'm doing my own thing. I'm chilling with the wolf. Like, I don't have time for that. Like, I told him not to, you know, we cool. Don't go there. But, yeah, I ain't with them. You know what I mean? Like, you got to sometimes think outside the box and look at things from a different perspective. And I thank Allah for giving that type of comprehension and intellect to me so that I do see these things, so that I can try to make other people aware of what's going on, you know, around them and, you know, to certain situations, or have you even look at that in a different way. Like, oh, you know, yeah, that don't sound right. Or, you know, yeah, maybe I should question that. You know, it's okay to do that. It's not, you don't have to conform to what everybody is doing. You can be different. You can be unique. I like to be unique. I like to be different. I don't like to do what everybody else is doing. I never have been and never will be. I don't think I will, you know, follow what other people are doing. I like to do things in a different way. So, you know, if you want something to, you know, go down on the show and, you know, hot topic or something you want me to address, just let me know. I'm open to hear that. I'm open to work with you and, you know, try to promote what you're doing. So this is Religion Means Alive. Today's date, the last day of 2015. I'm saying 2016 already. 2015. For Muslims, our New Year's was 3 months ago. So, yeah, we don't do the whole, you know, New Year thing. I'm just chilling here in the bed, eating sunflower seeds, doing my radio show. You know, I look forward to speaking with you all on Saturday, inshallah. So this is Wadira signing out. Tonight's topic was double standards. We discussed a whole bunch of them. Something to keep you on your toes, something to keep you enlightened to what's going on around you. So, again, I thank you. Be safe. Have a good evening. Assalamu alaikum.